From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called Slaves to Sin or to Grace. The text is found in chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been demonstrating that every member of the human race is a slave, either to sin or to grace. Each person willingly presents himself deliberately to the dominion of either the devil or God. The fallen man has no power to deliver himself from slavery to sin. Believers in Jesus Christ, however, are freed from that slavery as they obey from the heart the message of the gospel. They wholeheartedly embrace God's way of saving sinners. As in the ancient world, slaves lived according to the rule of their master, so in the spiritual world, every man lives under the domination of his master, whether it be Satan or God. Each choice leads to a definite end. Those who choose to obey the devil and sin will suffer eternal damnation. Those who by faith obey Christ will inherit eternal life. That raises the urgent question, whose slave do you choose to be? We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 45 and verse 7. Thou hatest wickedness. Be ye angry and sin not. There can hardly be goodness in a man if he be not angry at sin. He who loves truth must hate every false way. How our Lord Jesus hated it when temptation came. Thrice it assailed him in different forms, but ever he met it with, Get thee behind me, Satan. He hated it in others, none the less fervently, because he showed his hate oftener in tears of pity than in words of rebuke. Yet what language could be more stern, more Elijah-like than the words, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. He hated wickedness so much that he bled to wound it to the heart. He died that it might die. He was buried that he might bury it in his tomb. And he rose that he might forever trample it beneath his feet. Christ is in the gospel, and that gospel is opposed to wickedness in every shape. Wickedness arrays itself in fair garments and imitates the language of holiness. But the precepts of Jesus, like his famous scourge of small cords, chase it out of the temple and will not tolerate it in the church. So too, in the heart where Jesus reigns, what war there is between Christ and Belial. And when our Redeemer shall come to be our judge, those thundering words, Depart, ye cursed, which are indeed but a prolongation of his life-teaching concerning sin, shall manifest his abhorrence of iniquity. As warm as is his love to sinners, so hot is his hatred of sin. As perfect as is his righteousness, so complete shall be the destruction of every form of wickedness. O thou glorious champion of right and destroyer of wrong, for this cause hath God, even thy God, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Jesus, Lord,
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
personified as the Master is really a word for Christ our Justifier, Christ our Righteousness. That's what he's done for us. Therefore, he says, verse 19, yield yourselves, hand yourselves over to this new Master. And let me point out to you, and I really should take an extra week on this alone. Of course, I've dealt with 100 things tonight I should take an extra week on. But I don't have those weeks. Christians wonder, how can I really be holy? How can I really get victory? How can I really live the life that I ought to live? I want you to notice this, that it is righteousness that produces holiness. It is justification that produces sanctification. It is understanding what your position is in Christ and reckoning on it and acting on it. That's what gives you actual holiness of life. There's no dichotomy in the Bible. There's no great severance in the Bible between justification and sanctification. And this notion that holiness is to be attained by me giving you a list of rules, regulations, and principles and saying, do this, cut your hair a certain way, wear a certain color of shoes, have a certain kind of suit on, and all that, and do, and you'll be holy. You keep on doing those things, and many of them are good things to do, and you'll still be as unholy inside as ever you were before. You need to be justified in order to be sanctified. You need the grace of God taking you out of the mastery of sin and putting you into the hands of Christ, your justifier, in order to be holy. And the beautiful thing, verse 20 through 22, makes it clear that the old tyrant sin can no longer enslave you. When you were a slave of sin, you were free of righteousness. We all remember that. You had no power to do anything that would please God or merit His grace and salvation. You were free from righteousness. You see, slaves of sin can't produce righteousness. They can't save their souls. They can't gain acceptance. And they have no motive power to produce holiness. And I want you to notice this. If you're not saved, I'm going to take a minute to emphasize this in verse 21. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? The idea of fruit is what benefit? Some of you may not be saved, and as the Lord speaks to your heart, the devil kicks up and he brings many arguments and tells you what you'll... This is a favorite argument of the old liar, the devil. What you're going to lose, what you've got to give up to be a Christian. What you've got to give up. That's like saying to a man dying of cancer, to be healed, you've got to give up your cancer. I mean, that's rubbish. It's a lie. Here Paul says, what fruit, what benefit did you have in those things? And I ask any sinner, what benefit do you have? Anything that keeps you from Christ, there come a day when you will be thoroughly ashamed of that thing. What a day when you stand before God and say, Lord, I give up Christ. I give up the call of the gospel. I give up my soul because of the supposed benefit, the gain of sin. I want to tell you, my friends, sin is a terrible taskmaster and tyrant, and sin is 100% loss. Slaves of sin gain no benefit. For the end result, the end of those things is death. However, slaves of God, verse 22, have fruit unto holiness. You see, if you're justified, you want to live holy. The carnal mind says, hey, you're justified, you can live whatever way you like. Well, the Christian's answer is, yeah, I wish I could always do what I like, because I like to please God. I like to please my Master. I like to do what the great Master of my mind and will now commands. I like to have my life as a reflection of the grace that saved me. But no Christian ever says, I'm saved by grace without works. Therefore, it doesn't matter how I work, I can live like the devil and go to heaven. These people who say, oh, I'm saved, you know, I'm saved. I walked the aisle and I signed the card and I joined the church and I got baptized and I've done this and I've done that. I'm saved and I can do anything but go to hell. And they do it. Well, they'll go to hell at the end of it. They'll go to hell at the end of it. For no man that's ever been justified, understand what I'm saying, no man that has ever been justified makes justification an excuse or a license to sin. It's the devil's lie. Justification is unto holiness, sanctification. And the end result is everlasting life. But that end result, you know, it's not the result of our holiness. That's the thing. Verse 23, it's the gift of God. Notice the significant change of terms in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. The end of sin is the earned wages of one who has fought in the cause of sin, and that end result is death. The word wages is a word that has in it the idea of a soldier getting his wages. Remember earlier I pointed out Paul uses the word for the members of your body being used for sin, and he's using the word that normally means weapons. You make your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, you make them weapons of sin. You are a soldier in the army of sin. And what he's saying is, payday is coming. Payday is coming. There's a great American preacher titled one of the most famous sermons preached in modern times in America, Payday Someday. The wages of sin. The end of a Christ rejecter's life is something that he has earned. But the end of bearing fruit for Christ is eternal life. It's not wages, but it's the gift of God. It's the crowning benefit of grace. It's the full enjoyment of the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. We close tonight, we come full circle. Paul has maintained the truth of justification through grace by faith alone without works. He's talked about the sole merit and mediation of Jesus Christ. He's talked about the security of the believer in Jesus Christ without any works of his own entering into the picture. And he's made it clear that this truth is not a license to sin, but it's a platform to live in holiness. We're all slaves. We're all slaves. A great English preacher was going along in a train one day and he gave his testimony to a fellow traveler and invited him to Christ. And the man said, you are a fool. The preacher said, I'm Christ's fool. Whose fool are you? I'm a slave, but I'm Christ's slave. Whose slave are you? If you're here tonight as a slave of the tyrant sin, I'm here to tell you that the power that took this guilty, hell-deserving sinner out of the realm and reign of sin and handed me over to grace. I want you to get that picture in your mind and never, never forget it. I see God reaching down into the slave market of sin, seeing me, this willing servant and slave of sin. And I see the almighty hands of the living Christ. I see those nail-pierced, blood-sprinkled hands. And I see them reach down and lift me out of that realm of sin and hand me over to grace. That's the picture I want you to get. And that's what the Lord does. When you come by faith as a sinner to Christ, whose slave are you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart now, we pray. And God grant that this night, in this place and wherever this message is seen and heard, thou wilt bless it to bring sinners out of the thraldom of sin and into the kingdom of thy dear Son, and to bring thy people into the liberty and the victory that rightly belongs to the justified people of God. Answer prayer abundantly and give grace to souls to close with Christ as he's freely offered to them in the gospel. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Give fruit for the preaching of the word. We pray, giving thee our thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the merits of his precious and atoning blood. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.